Chapter 6. We'll need labour. About 10 natives to start with. That'll be your problem, Duff told Sean. It was the following morning, and they were eating breakfast in front of the tent. Sean nodded, but didn't try to answer until he'd swallowed his mouthful of bacon. I'll get Emba Janey onto that right away. He'll be able to get his Zulus, even if he has to drive them here with a spear at their backs. Good. In the meantime, you and I'll ride back to Pretoria again to buy the basic equipment, picks, shovels, dynamite and the like. Duff wiped his mouth and filled his coffee cup. I'll show you how to start moving the overburden and stacking the ore in a dump. We'll pick a site for the mill, and then I'll leave you to get on with it while I head south for the Cape to see my farmer friend. God and the weather permitting, ours will be the second mill working on these fields. They brought their purchases back from Pretoria in a small ox wagon. Emby Janey had done his work well. There were a dozen Zulus lined up for Sean's approval next to the tent, with Emby Janey standing guard over them like a cheerful sheepdog. Sean walked down the line, stopping to ask each man his name and joke with him in his own language. He came to the last in the line. How are you called?
My name is Helubi Nkosi.
Sean pointed at the man's well-rounded paunch bulging out above his loincloth.
If you come to work for me, we'll soon have you delivered of your child.
They burst out in delighted laughter, and Sean smiled at them affectionately. Proud, simple people, tall and big-muscled, completely defenceless against a well-timed jest. Through his mind flashed the picture of a hill in Zululand, a battlefield below it, and the flies crawling in the pit of an empty stomach. He shot the picture out quickly and shouted above their laughter.
So be it then. Sixpence a day and all the food you can eat. Will you sign on to work for me?
They chorused their assent and climbed up onto the back of the wagon. Sean and Duff took them out to the Candy Deep, and they laughed and chattered like children going on a picnic. It took another week for Duff to instruct Sean in the use of dynamite, to explain how he wanted the first trenches dug, and to mark out the site for the mill and the dump. They moved the tent up to the mine and worked 12 hours every day. At night they rode down to Candy's hotel to eat a full meal, and then Sean rode home alone. He was so tired by evening that he hardly envied Duff the comfort of Candy's bedroom. Instead, he found himself admiring Duff's stamina. Each morning he looked for signs of fatigue in his partner, but, although his face was lean and gaunt as ever, his eyes were just as clear and his lopsided smile just as cheerful. How you do it beats me, Sean told him the day they finished marking out the mill site. Duff winked at him.
Years of practice, laddie, but between you and me the ride down to the Cape will be a welcome rest.
When are you going? Sean asked.
Quite frankly, I think that every day I stay on here increases the risk of someone else getting in before us. Mining machinery is going to be at a premium from now on. You've got things well in hand now. What do you say?
I'm starting to think along the same lines, Sean agreed. They walked back to the tent and sat down on the camp chairs, from where they could look down the length of the valley. The week before, about 2 dozen wagons had been outspanned around Candy's hotel, but now there were at least 200, and from where they sat they could count another 8 or 9 encampments, some even larger than the one around Candy's place. Wood and iron buildings were beginning to replace the canvas tents, and the whole veldt was criss-cross with rough roads along which mounted men and wagons moved without apparent purpose. The restless movement, the dust clouds raised by the passage of men and beasts, and the occasional deep crump-crump of dynamite firing in the workings along the banquet, all heightened the air of excitement, of almost breathless expectancy, that hung over the whole goldfield.
I'll leave at first light tomorrow, Duff decided. 10 days riding to the railhead at Colesberg, and another 4 days by train will get me there. With luck, I'll be back in under 2 months. He wriggled round in his chair and looked directly at Sean. After paying Candy her £200, and with what I spent in Pretoria, I've only got about 150 left. Once I get to Pal, I'll have to pay out 200 or 300 for the mill. Then I'll need to hire 20 or 30 wagons to bring it up here, say £800 altogether to be on the safe side. Sean looked at him. He had known this man a few short weeks. 800 was the average man's earnings for 3 years. Africa was a big land. A man could disappear easily. Sean loosened his belt and dropped it onto the table. He unbuttoned the money pouch. "Give me a hand to count it out," he told Duff. "Thanks," said Duff. And he was not talking about the money. With trust asked for so simply and given so spontaneously, the last reservations in their friendship shriveled and died.